Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And we welcome you to the Kevin Hurt Clambake, a.k.a. the Thursday Show. By the way, the Board of Health closed down the Kevin Hurt Clambake.
I never did learn how to make clams or bake them. I've steamed them before, but I've never baked them.
IndyCar ratings are out.
And they're up.
And the Premier League crushed it.
On which channel? There were 800 of them.
Ten channels. Here's the shame. And what's really interesting is this. In sports today, and I think this has been true for a long time now, it's really been true in the television age, and really you go even back into, let's go back in the radio age. Stars mean something. The Yankees were winning, the star. Then Mickey Mantle was the star. Joe Louis was a star. Even though it was a radio broadcast, Jack Dempsey was a star. As time has gone on, star powers meant something. Richard Petty was a star. Dale Earnhardt Sr., star. To a point, Cale Yarborough. And Mario Andretti and A.J. Foyt were stars. And Indy was doing a great job, for example, of developing stars over time. You know, the mantle of an Andretti and a Foyt got passed to a Johnny Rutherford, who had some star power, and got passed to a Rick Mears. There's nobody to really rally around in the sport anymore. You don't rally around Scott Dixon. And I say this with all due respect to some highly, highly talented people. But you don't rally around Scott Dixon. You don't rally around Will Power. Elio Castroneves has a little crossover, but that's it. Marco Andretti has his family name, but doesn't have the wins to back it up.
Nope.
Okay. NASCAR certainly has some guys that have some star power to a point. Jimmy Johnson wins. Jeff Gordon, of course, without question, has star power. He'll be driving that Penn State car on June 7th, coming up next week at Pocono. And you see that today. I mean, and baseball's in an interesting quandary right now on stars. They actually have some great stars with some charisma now. Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, Clayton Kershaw. Yeah, you feel like baseball's treading water. Meanwhile, LeBron James and Stephen Curry are going to be in the finals. NBA not treading water. I mean, you know, the casual fan is the one that identifies with the star. The fan that's there every day that loves the team. Now, if we could have Phillies fans on here right now, they could tell you about guys that are playing in Double A, the great pitcher they have in Double A that they've kept there that people are complaining about. That's their team. They know. The casual fan knows that Ryan Howard could be a St. Louis Cardinal next week now that Matt Adams is hurt. Now, And that's a big difference, mate. Rory McIlroy shot an 80 today at the Irish Open. But people know who Rory McIlroy is. Nobody knows who's leading the Irish Open. But they know that Rory McIlroy shot 80. And he's not even in the same realm as Tiger Woods. And this, you know, let's look at horse racing. American Pharoah goes for the Triple Crown. Do you know how badly the sport of horse racing needs that horse to win? They need a star. It would be a tremendous boost to the sport to have a recognizable name. I think a lot of people know California Chrome was in the thick of it, but I mean, really, there's certainly, you know, I think people know Smarty Jones gave it a shot. Big Brown gave it a shot. I think the fans sort of know who gave it a shot, but not all the way through. It's the one that wins is the one that becomes the star. And that's what you're looking for in sports today. Something you can build around and market.
Well, there's a
ton. I know I talk about the front of the jersey versus the back of the jersey all the time, but in order to market, you need the back of the jersey.
Well, there's a ton of big stars in NASCAR, but NASCAR's numbers are really dropping like a rock over the last decade, and it actually their prime time race was lower than the Indy 500 in the middle of the day.
But what big stars? Who's a big star? Jeff Gordon, Jimmy Johnson,
Dale Jr.,
who just got back to winning.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't won in a while. You're right. Yeah, that's a good point. And Danica.
You know, but
from a popularity standpoint,
but
she doesn't win. I know that,
but
she's the most popular driver in NASCAR.
Kevin, they don't even show her anymore.
She won the popularity vote to get into the All-Star race. And she hasn't been in the top 10 this year, I don't think.
Yeah, but ever since she's gone there, the ratings have gone down.
That's also true.
She has not helped, right? Referring to her as a star on the circuit is a relative term. She is a name that people know. She's, to be in it, you have to be excellent. But she is not good enough to compete. And when I mean compete, I'm talking about top 10s. Where you're in the thick of the race, you got a chance to win. She has not one time had a chance to win since she's been on the NASCAR circuit.
If I'm NBC right now, I'm very concerned about this new contract that gets me NASCAR in the second half of the season when I see big race numbers down every single year Fox has had it.
Well, if I'm NBC, what concerns me right now, the biggest thing I've got to sit down with my people and say, look, we got to lock this thing up. The English Premier League is up at the end of this year on the contract. That's where people are now flocking to watch. Thousands and thousands of people watched that final day on the 10 networks of NBC.
Are you looking at the collective numbers, though? And I'm not debating that there were numbers for it. I'm not saying that at all. I'm curious, were the numbers cumulative numbers, or were they up on every network that it ran it?
Well, cumulative.
Okay, well, to me, you have to take that with a grain of salt. They had it on 10 networks. I mean, you couldn't trip without finding a game.
So what?
Well,
in other words, what they were doing was they were watching soccer.
Okay, but if you got 1 point on every network,
you're watching soccer.
That's true. I see what you're saying.
All right? You're watching soccer. Do you think when the NFL sits down to look at its numbers in the 1 o'clock time slot, when they go to tell people, they said, well, you know, the Jacksonville-Seattle game wasn't as popular as the Philadelphia-Dallas game.
No,
they're
you're
telling
right.
you across the board. They're looking, going yeah. to say, look, look at all these people that watched.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I mean, that's what you're looking at here. The number of people who watched, yeah, maybe on multiple platforms.
That was the other thing I was going to say next. I can understand if the, and if they throw in the multiple platform through the roof.
Gigantic. Gigantic. It is a young person's game.
Very much, yep.
I mean, a young person's game. Now, what will happen to the young person's game now that Fox takes over the World Cup, starting the end of next week with the Women's World Cup? What will happen to the World Cup if Russia loses it? What will happen to soccer if Qatar loses? What will happen to soccer if this scandal is so deep and so cutting that it makes it all look ugly?
I think this is no
small deal.
But I also think it's important that fans who aren't a follower of soccer realizes that the issue here is with the international game, not necessarily the Premier League or the MLS in particular. This is the international game that they're talking about.
Right.
But you're right.
Everyone knows that.
But you're right. It will have adverse effects outwardly from just international soccer to every platform.
Jim Delaney, when he was on the show with us yesterday, made the point, and we've heard this point before, but that growing up in the 50s and the 60s, the popular sports were that really swung people happen to be horse racing, boxing, bowling had some popularity, and baseball. Where do those sports rank today?
You can usually find bowling on, but it's usually opposite the NFL.
I mean, bowling is nowhere to be found. Horse racing, it's all, you know, even though the Breeders' Cup is very popular and betting is popular, for the consciousness of America, everything's rolled into one race next Saturday.
I can't honestly tell you when the Breeders' Cup is. I know I think it's late in the year, but I don't know what weekend or anything.
Late October, first week of November.
See, I thought it was in the fall, but, you know, I know when the Kentucky Derby is, the Preakness and the Belmont.
Baseball has interesting ratings with local coverage, but nationally it's fallen and it's flatlined. And boxing, in the Mayweather-Pacquiao thing, was a farce. And boxing is nowhere to be found. Times change, viewing habits change, interest changes, generations drive the change. And it took a long time, despite all the youth soccer across the country. Soccer never really caught on, even with the 94 World Cup here. Kind of caught a little bit. But I think the fact that the United States finally got somewhat competitive on the world stage, and ESPN, to its credit, drove the engine. Now the ESPN is not going to be driving the engine, and it's going to be Fox. What does that mean? Now, I don't blame Fox. I mean, Fox did what they were supposed to do. Hot property, World Cup, bought it. Okay. Just like they did with the U.S. Open and all the USGA events.
I still can't understand Fox Sports doing that.
What, the USGA?
I can't imagine Fox Sports doing golf. Just the style that they have come to create with what they do. It seems way too aggressive and out there and in your face for golf.
Well, how do you think Fox does a baseball game?
But what I'm saying is, I can under baseball. I think it's okay. Football, obviously, it works very well. Golf is one of those. That's like them doing tennis. I can't understand. I can't see Fox doing tennis in their style. They're going to really have to change the style of broadcast they do for golf.
But don't confuse the game style with the pregame show. Don't confuse the game with the pregame show. Fox doesn't do any game unconventionally when it comes to the actual game. They've actually added some things. For example, like a Mike Pereira as the consultant for officiating. I mean, that's a Fox innovation. The Fox box that you see. No one had a box in the corner until Fox did it. I mean, so Fox has done some innovative things that have taken broadcasting forward in terms of the game, but don't confuse what they do in the pregame show to what they do in the game. I don't see anything in the game that Fox does where I sit back and go, what the heck is this?
Well, you're not going to see a Fox robot in golf.
Yeah, but the robot is just a transitional thing for them showing ads. That's all it is. I mean, the robot doesn't show up during the game. It's just one of those transitional. You know, today's game on Fox is brought to you by, I mean, that's where the robot is. And they tried the thing with the disc in hockey as to how they had a little disc mounted inside the puck to show the tail and all that. That, I mean, that was garbage.
Speed.
Right. That was pure garbage. All right. That was pure garbage. It was an attempt so people could follow the puck. HD TV changed that. But you watch their game coverage of the NFL, you watch their game coverage of Major League Baseball. You know, other than adding like a Mike Pereira, adding the box and things like that, what do they do in game that makes you sit back and go, it's totally different?
Well, they seemed, I don't know if they still do, but for a while with baseball, they ran a lot of what I like to call subliminal ads in the lower corner of the screen that annoyed me during a game.
Yeah, but they've done other things. They mic the bases up.
True. I mean, they have added. And weren't they the first ones to do pitch tracking?
Yes, they were.
I was going to say, I don't remember anybody doing pitch tracking before. And that's one of the things that I will give them credit for that they did. But it's just, again, the image that Fox has portrayed, as you said, granted, I'm talking about on their pregame shows and on their studio shows, it doesn't lend itself to golf. So it'll be interesting to see how they make that adjustment.
I mean, you watch when they had the BCS contract, their coverage was solid on the BCS College National Championship games. Now, what you do need, though, when you do these events, you do need a signature voice of some sort. That's why they took Joe Buck, and they're going to put him on golf. I know he's been down to Lancaster Country Club here a couple times because they're going to be doing the U.S. Women's Open. You know, getting Greg Norman as an analyst. I think the hope is that Norman can bring personality to the table, same way that Nick Faldo has surprised everyone with the personalities brought to the table. The same way that I've been surprised with how Colin Montgomery is brought when I've watched him with some personalities brought to the table. There have been two major surprises as to how they do golf. That's what they're hoping with Greg Norman by having Joe Buck there. Now, the difference is going to be, what do you do with, you know, the purist is going to have a certain feel as to what they have. That's why ESPN brilliantly shifted to Ian Dark in the last World Cup, because the soccer purist loved him and the casual fan said, hey, that guy's kind of cool.
And I think Tirico's done a great job on golf.
Well, Tirico's fabulous, but he can't do the Fox stuff. He doesn't work for Fox.
Right, he doesn't work for Fox. But I thought,
Mike's really, really good. I mean, at everything he does. I mean, Mike's really, really good at everything he does.
I wasn't sure about him with Monday Night Football, but he's done a heck of a job.
It's not that
I thought he'd do a terrible job. I don't mean that. It's just
Mike Tirico says items during plays that other people would have thought of later.
I always saw him as a studio guy and wasn't sure how well he transitioned to the booth, but done a heck of a job.
No, he's really, really good. Really, really good. And he's one of those guys, believe me, if you meet him, and I've talked to him so many times. And by the way, we will get him on the show. The last time I talked to Mike was in March, and he said, "Oh yeah, I'll do it. We'll figure out a time." So I mean, we'll get him on. All right, Ruben Amaro.
Need a break? SMC can help. Sunbury Motors Ford wants to give you a spring break. Choose from over 250 new Fords with savings up to 10 grand. And financing as low as 0% for up to 72 months. And no payments for 90 days. Pick from over 40 of the fuel-efficient 2015 Ford Focus. And they're priced from just $16,980. SMC has 30 of the top-selling 2015 Ford Escapes. And they're slashed to as low as $19,915. The number one selling truck for 38 consecutive years is the Ford F-Series, and Sunbury Motors has 80 trucks in stock starting as low as $25,989. Every new Ford will be clearly marked during this unprecedented spring break sale at Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. SMC, proudly owned by the Merce family for 100 years. Have a safe and happy Memorial Day from Sunbury Motors.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
They're going to talk about Texas succeeding for the Union? Really?
As far as I know, that was voted down several times before it even came to vote.
Oh, God, where's the common sense? This is talking about something relevant. You know, believe it or not, Rick Santorum and I were in the same graduating class at Penn State.
I did know that, yeah.
Yeah. Rick Barry and I knew him back when he was in college, so, yeah. Oh. Okay, well, if that's what Walter wants to talk about, then so be it. I'm not going to stop him. not my show. Well, would that be the equivalent, if they secede from the Union, would that be the equivalent of putting the Jacksonville Jaguars into relegation?
Would you need a passport then to go see the Houston Texans?
Well, that is one of the confusing areas for British fans who actually watch the MLS. And one of the reasons they enjoy the MLS and it's got a little bit of, you know, footing with them is some of the aging stars that are no longer in the Premier League are playing here now. Henri. At one point, now he's since retired, David Beckham. You know, players like that. And the one area that baffles British fans, and I read this in an article, is that nobody gets relegated. Like the Phillies. The Phillies could be relegated. The Phillies could be relegated where suddenly next year's schedule includes Gwinnett County. Yeah. The Gwinnett County Braves.
You have to admit, though, it would be intriguing if, like MLS, it wouldn't work because where would you relegate them? But in baseball or the NFL, taking your bottom four teams and relegating them to another league, would they have to go, so like in football, would they have to go to the arena?
The Jacksonville Jaguars would go to the Southeastern Conference and Alabama would move up.
All of a sudden, you'd have the Philadelphia Soul playing in the NFL and Jacksonville in the AFL. And the Soul comes in and goes, "Wow, this field looks awfully big.
I don't know. What do we do with this?" It's a lot of acreage.
You guys run the football in this league? What for?
Why? No need.
Wow, those goalposts are wide.
Hey, that's the one area that baffles British fans when they watch the MLS. No one gets relegated. Next year, the New York Red Bulls are still in the same spot.
Well, like I said, where would you relegate them to in the MLS?
Some park and rec league.
I would think it would be more insulting for a team in the Premier League to be relegated to the MLS. Oh, we have to go to the States to play. You got to be kidding me.
Wow. Well, meanwhile, now, maybe Dr. Brash could talk about this. This might be more his area.
Okay.
Russian President Vladimir Putin accused the United States of meddling in FIFA's affairs and hinted it was part of an attempt to take the 2018 World Cup away from his country. Caught on, did you? We couldn't pull the wool over those KGB eyes.
We decided to let the Olympics go because, well, let's face it, it was the Winter Olympics. But soccer, forget it.
One thing about the World Cup is a full month plus, it ends up being about 5 weeks. And it, when they come in, it's all over your country. It is not in one stadium. And that is one of the great benefits of having the World Cup. It's all over your country. It is not just locked into one area. As I've told you many times, Beaver Stadium was looked at as a World Cup site because of the size of the venue. Now, what they would have done is that because of the layout of Beaver Stadium, the plan was to take the turf. Let's see. They would have built up the dirt and the soil up above the bottom of the stadium and probably take out the first 2 to 3 rows, and that would have been the playing surface for the World Cup. That's what they would have had to have done. The area that really hurt here in getting any World Cup competition, they loved the size of the stadium, and the site survey went just fine for them. The problem was the number of hotels in the area. Now, this is back in 1994, but I'm telling you right now, the number of hotels in this area now is still inadequate to host an event like that.
I'm just
but
thinking...
But they look at the World Cup. I'll say it goes all over your country, everywhere.
I just can't tell you how excited I am to see a World Cup game in Petersburg, Russia. That's going to be a great venue for that. That's not necessarily where I would consider a vacation destination. Sometimes of the year.
Yeah, except they're going to be playing this in the summertime there.
Well, and that's it. But they actually have a retractable roof on that stadium.
Right, but I mean, at the same time, it's also going to be summertime there. I mean, there's certain parts of Russia where summertime lasts the 2 to 3 weeks. It's right in that window.
It's right there. Let's see, what is the average temperature in Petersburg?
When are they going to play it? In August of 2018? I would think the average temperature in Petersburg in August is probably about 78 degrees.
Let's see. We'll take a look here. Petersburg, Russia. The average temperature in August, 61.
Really?
61 degrees is the average temperature.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Again, it's not what I would consider a vacation destination.
It's actually going to take place June 14th to July 15th.
Oh, well, there it warms. It actually is a little warmer in July. It's 64.
Okay. So it's June 14th to July 15th. And the final will be in Moscow on July 15th. That's if the world makes it that far.
I think that's more of an issue right now. What are they worth? Over $1 billion?
What, the tournament?
No, the federation. I saw the value at, like, I thought it was $1.2 billion.
Well, the way the bidding went, okay, when it was Russia, they had one round. Now, you need 12 votes to get the World Cup. Russia led round one with 9. Portugal and Spain had a combo at 7. Belgium and the Netherlands had a combo bid. They got 4 votes, and England got 2 votes. When they went to the second round, Russia got over the top with 13 votes. Portugal and Spain had 7. Belgium, Netherlands had 2, and England was eliminated. So, I mean, Russia led after round one. Now, as for Qatar, I wonder how the voting went on Qatar here. Let's see here.
Is it Qatar or Qatar? I've heard it both ways now, and I'm not sure.
Well, I've always heard it Qatar. So.
That's the way I heard it, too. But then all of a sudden, I heard some people saying Qatar the other day.
That's okay. It's, you know, unsophisticated group.
But again, right. If you have it in July, it's 110.
No, it's not going to be in July. In 2022, it's going to be in December.
Oh, well,
that's why I said yesterday, the Premier League in Great Britain very upset about this because of when it's going to take place. It is scheduled to take place last week in November all the way up to December 18th.
That's better.
Which is national. It's National Day in Qatar. It took 4 rounds of voting on that. Again, the reason I'm talking about the voting in the rounds is that this is where they're alleging the corruption to have occurred, to swing votes. And the voting pattern was like this. Now we know why it comes into focus. Round one, Qatar had 11 votes. Need 12, by the way. Round in second place was the United States with, second place was South Korea with 4. The United States and Japan had 3 each. Australia had 1. Australia eliminated. So they get to round two. Qatar lost a vote. They went down from 11 down to 10. The United States jumped up 2 votes to 5. South Korea jumped up 1 vote to 4. Japan dropped a vote to 2.
And I'm guessing Japan, after this round is where the alleged money starts to come in.
Japan, gone. Round 3. Qatar, 11 votes, picked up 1. Now remember, they could have picked it up 1 from Australia or Japan. You know, they could have picked it up there because they're out. Qatar, up 1 vote to 11. The U.S., up 1 vote to 6. South Korea remains steady at 5. So what happened was, in those who voted for Japan, Qatar picked up 1 vote, the U.S. picked up 1 vote. So then South Korea, with the 5 votes, eliminated. So now it's head-to-head, Qatar and the U.S., with the 5 South Korean votes now available. The United States picked up 2 of them to get to 8. Qatar picked up 3 of them to get to 14. Stunningly, there are allegations of bribery and corruption.
This is like, what is it, Wednesday night at the National Convention when they're getting a nomination for president? It's the way this voting sounded.
Well, these guys are actually voting. I mean, the nominating convention is just, I mean, everybody knows who already has the nomination before they start. Qatar's the smallest nation ever to get the World Cup. Switzerland had been the smallest back in 1954. But Switzerland's three times the size of Qatar. Qatar's population is 1.7 million. And they've got the venues. I mean, the big stadium's 86,000. They've got another one that's 40,000. Another one is 47,000. Another one's 45,000.
And there's still money to build more?
Yeah. I mean, they've got lots of money to build more and buy racehorses that can race the Kentucky Derby. They got plenty of cash. Hey. Bidding corruption allegations.
We can buy them.
A former employee of the Qatar bid alleged that several African officials were paid $1.5 million by Qatar. She has since retracted her claims.
For $1.4 million.
After being followed to the airport.
This is all the intrigue. My goodness. Come on.
Oh, you know what? Like this is the next...
I feel like I'm watching a Jim Bob Bond film here.
That's what I was just about ready to say. This is going to be the next premise for the James Bond series.
Nah, Jim Bob Bond is going to... This time he's going head-to-head with Spectre. It's coming out in November, which will be more intriguing than this. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
May is a full month of special days. Memorial Day, Mother's Day, Cinco de Mayo, and of course, Hyundai!
Hyundai!
And Sunbury Motors Hyundai deals are on fire. Sonata starting at $19,790 or take advantage of 0% for 75 months. Hyundai Genesis discounted over $11,000. Hyundai Elantra starting at $16,989. The year's best selection of Santa Fe and Santa Fe Sport all-wheel drives in stock with rates as low as 1.9%. Take over $6,000 off in-stock 2015 Sonata hybrids. Check us out at sunburymotors.com. America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles. Hyundai.
Hyundai.
Great fuel mileage. Think Hyundai.
Hyundai.
Cutting-edge technology and safety. Think Hyundai.
Hyundai.
Pressure and gimmick-free buying with the lowest prices. Think Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Plus tax and tax financing with approved credit and all buyers will qualify. See dealer for details.
Well, that's the one guy Putin's worried about. That's Jim Bob Bond. And he says, Putin's accused the U.S. of meddling in FIFA's affairs. They're being bribed and taking it. Wait a minute. I forgot. That's the system you already use. I forgot. That country's a mess. Oh, my goodness. All right. If you'd like to call in, 800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565. We'll have some interviews tomorrow from Coaches versus Cancer. We'll be out there tomorrow. Tim Frazier of the Portland Trail Blazers will be here. Kyle Lowry, Ron Harper. We'll all be a part of the tournament again this year. So I'll get a few of those interviews for you. Bring them tomorrow for you. Every time I see Captain Personality get interviewed about, you know, Putin's the kind of guy, he's on camera, and he just looks so depressed.
Well, he lives in Russia. I mean, let's face it. It's not necessarily the best place to hang out for long periods of time. My
goodness gracious.
It's not like he's been in Sochi all the time.
I mean, the next time he has a good time will be the first time he's had a good time.
They're trying to wreck it on us.
Just slow down. You got it. They're not taking it away from you.
Mr. President, we have to visit the North. Why do we have to do that again? I don't want to go there. It's too depressing.
Feel like this is a Hogan's Heroes episode.
I know nothing!
Did you see the guy in the kayak that caught the gigantic fish? I mean, actual footage. I mean, huge. The guy's in a kayak.
I'll have to look for that because that takes some balance if you got a good-sized fish.
And here's one for you. Did you see the protest where the kayaks were all circling some oil rig platform?
Yeah, I thought...
Protesting oil?
Yeah, the thought was good luck with that.
You know what's so funny about that? What's the key ingredient in making a kayak? Petroleum! I think we're all idiots.